I'm very happy now to welcome to the program Russell Baker. He's Executive Director of the National Dance Institute of New Mexico, NDI New Mexico, and Allegra Lillard. She's the Program Director of the Dance Barns, which is the after-school program with NDI. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So you've got a very cool program coming up this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's called Winter Dance Escape. What's it all about? Who's performing?
Well, the Winter Dance Escape involves our advanced dancers at the Dance Barns. And they are dancers who started with NDI in the public schools in National Dance Institute's program that goes directly into the public schools. They loved it. They graduated onto our advanced programs on the weekends. Then they decided to improve their technique by taking after-school classes. So they are all committed to taking 5 to 6 days after school, rehearsing, performing. So those are the students that are performing next weekend in the Winter Dance Escape. We're very excited. I think it's a great time of year to have a dance concert. It's a little mood lifter in the middle of winter. And it's a very eclectic mix we have going from string trio, a contemporary piece, to another contemporary piece by Curtis Ullman, Barefoot, to The Haunting Sounds of Lila Downs, to a point piece with three ladies, to a very upbeat kind of wacky Broadway song and dance piece by Campbell Martin. So there's surely something in there to please everyone.
So it's a lot of different kinds of dance.
Absolutely. We offer a lot of different options for our students at the Dance Barns. We have ballet, modern, jazz, theater, voice, tap, a lot of different offerings for them in the direction that they want to take their performing arts at this point in their lives.
Now, these are all school-age people who are going to be performing?
Yes, they are. They're mostly high school students. We do have some younger ones as well, a little group called the Junior Company. And they are younger than our advanced dancers, but they're just as motivated and enthusiastic, and they were recommended by their dance teachers at the Dance Barns to be a part of this little group. And they will be also dancing in this Winter Dance Escape. To a piece that I choreographed called With Our Own Two Hands. And it's about making a difference in the world. And they've been just a hoot to work with. We created dance steps based on everyday activities. We call them recycled steps. The lawnmower, for instance, how to start a lawnmower, the sprinkler, spreading the butter, the light bulb. So we had a lot of fun creating that dance. I think, and that's even with the older dancers and the other pieces that we are presenting next week, they've had a lot of opportunity to explore different styles of movement, different ways of approaching the process of creativity, whether it's song or dance, whether it's Broadway, whether it's contemporary dance, whether it's barefoot, whether it's in point shoes. So I think I'm really excited about this because I think it's really giving our dancers and our students the exposure that they need if they have any intention of kind of breaking off and going into the big wide world in the performing arts.
Well, is that what happens? I mean, you've got students of this caliber. Are you then sending them on to academies, conservatories, a professional career, that kind of thing?
Well, it's a really good question, and in fact, we have some students that are doing some great things. We've got two young men that went through the program now performing in ballet companies, one in Ohio and one in Virginia. We have a young man who's in a touring Broadway show, My Fair Lady.
Is that right?
We've got some students that are studying either dance or performing arts of some kind in colleges and universities around the country. But you know, the NDI program is designed not to just train professional dancers. It's really to instill the work ethic and the values that come from a dance class and that come from being in the performing arts. So I think that the neat thing that's happening at the Dance Barns is that we've taken this idea of excellence and how do you become excellent at something and given kids opportunity to take that to its ultimate level, which in dance is joining a ballet company or being a part of a Broadway production. And that's starting to happen. But, you know, since we started 18 years ago, we estimate that we've worked with 60,000 students in New Mexico with
the
NDI program.
Are you kidding me?
It's incredible. This year alone, we're working with 6,800 students. So we started small. We've grown over the last 18 years. But you can see how that we could get to that number in 18 years. And the thing that's great, another thing that I think that's great about the Dance Burns kids can start when they're in the fourth grade and stick with us through high school. Or they can even come as tiny tots, 3, 4, 5, 6 year olds.
Yeah.
We have programs for kids of all ages.
Including adults. We have adult programs now as well.
Oh.
Ballet,
Zumba.
Tap, Zumba, yoga, you name it.
Okay. You've got it all going over there on over there on Alto Street.
Yes, Alto Street. In between Agua Fria and Alameda, right off of Camino O'Leary.
Now, we hear so much, and we cover this on my show, and we hear it everywhere about kids at risk and kids who've got problems and kids who come from poverty and kids who come from drug addict families and all that kind of stuff. Do you have stories, do you have experience of kids from pretty rough situations who find a place in dance? They're both nodding.
Yes, definitely.
Vigorously.
We definitely do. NDI programs are in communities all over New Mexico. We're besides Santa Fe, Albuquerque, and Española, where we have really pretty large programs, we're in 19 other communities, rural, Native American pueblos, reservations, from north, south, east, and west. And it's true what you say, that kids in New Mexico are, in a way, standing in the center of a storm, and they're trying to figure out how to deal with a lot of sort of problems, issues that are... That's tough for kids to deal with. The things that you mentioned, drugs and alcohol and family violence and even just when you look at graduation rates and you look at poverty
illiteracy
rates.
Illiteracy, all this stuff.
There are kids that find sort of, I like to think of it as like their sails get filled with wind with a program like NDI, dance and music and the chance to perform. And I do think it goes back to those values that we instill during the class that are so integral to the way we teach, which is that working hard, doing your best, not giving up, being healthy, being physically fit, we call those our core four, that those are the things that you can use to be successful in life. Whether you're taking a math test or applying for a job or learning a dance step, it takes effort and energy to be excellent. And that when kids, they have this joyful experience, but B, they build self-confidence in, I can approach something now. And they can find like a haven for themselves. And a lot of kids think of the Dance Barns as a second home, a home away from home, because they spend so much time there.
And do they tend to do better in school once they get that stuff going?
Absolutely. All of our students are doing well in school, and if they don't, we generally hear about it and remind them why they need to do better and to carry what they do in our studios over into the rest of their lives. You know, I think both Russell and I are involved with NDI for the same reasons. I mean, there's nothing like witnessing a child discover the power of creativity within themselves. And so many times the students that we work with may not have had that opportunity otherwise, but they have that introduction, and I think it's so wonderful in this day and age, in the crazy world that we live in right now, to supply our youth with these tools of creativity. It's only going to make the world a better place. I can only hope, you know.
Well, and when you think about how important creativity and problem solving are in your adult life, it's not just about test taking. Once you get into the grown-up world, there are no tests that you have to memorize anything for. You actually have to survive through your skill and wit and
working with people,
working together, problem solving. And so much of this is what we do in the choreographic process, in the classes that the students take. So many life lessons.
There's also an important point that a friend of mine and I were just talking about this recently. When people talk about how the arts are so important because they help you in all the other areas of your life. I think it's also important to emphasize the arts are an end in themselves.
Absolutely.
And that getting good at or coming to appreciate or coming to find a spiritual center in whatever your art form is, that is a value regardless of whether it helps you do better
regardless.
On the math test.
Regardless.
I love going into public school and working with a group of fourth graders, and instead of calling them students or instead of calling them kids, calling them dancers. And they stand up straighter and they lift their chins and their shoulders go back and they say, you can see they consider themselves to be dancers, artists.
There's this moment. Did you ever see the Spalding Gray film Swimming to Cambodia? And he talks about being in a film somewhere far away, Australia or something, and the director says, now all the artists must come to whatever place. And he was like, I'm an artist? All right. When you're working with students, particularly you, Allegra, I mean, well, both of you, but working with, again, kids who have never had a discipline before, you must have to walk some line between being tough with them but also being compassionate.
Oh, absolutely. And India is all about tough love, but a lot of compassion and a lot of understanding. One of the best experiences I had, and I'm very grateful to Jacques d'Amboise and this program, I feel like I walked away from, I never walked away, but from the program, but the experience of learning how to teach that technique was so valuable, and it gave me so many tools and understanding. It also taught me to step back and look at the children, and so many times you look at them and it's like looking in a mirror. You're looking at yourself. So I think to become a teacher, you learn as much from the students as they learn from you. And as soon as you realize that, that's when you start to make progress. And they teach me every single day. And yes, it's a very fine line. And yes, that's why you have ballet one, and then you have ballet two and ballet three, and they move up. They take those tiny steps, and just being that patience and the nurturing, it'll get them there eventually.
Well, I mean, when we were young, we had the Russian teachers.
Absolutely,
who practically
with the canes
had whips
and
yeah,
well,
they didn't. There was no compassion whatsoever.
No, and you know
that
what?
Was
you
just
can't.
Tough.
You can't do that anymore.
I know.
But I think what you say is really true. We think of it as developing rigor in students. That students, you mentioned Jacques d'Amboise, said young people are like little lie detectors. If you say something that's not true, they catch on to it right away. And for us, how that translates into an NDI class is when we say something is well done, when we say it's excellent, that we really finally got to that place. Yeah. But until that happens, we keep working and we try to be inspirational and we try to be humorous and we try to have fun the whole time. But the ultimate goal is to seriously do your best to try to reach a level of excellence that everyone can recognize and then celebrate. So I think that's where teachers are tough, but they're loving and tough.
Loving and tough and very patient, because I think you have to be so patient and wait till the very last student in that class has the step before you move on. So how do you do that and make
and
it interesting,
bore everybody else.
Interesting for the one who is a step ahead of everybody else? And that's challenging.
How do you do it?
Oh boy!
Well, there's lots of games that we play. We divide up the classroom into different sort of spatial arrangements. We have kids go by themselves. We do competitions. We take this idea of like what would be fun in active, and it just keeps going. So it's sort of like call and response and call and response. So this like energy kind of builds. And I have to say, one of the things that really makes it work is that we have a live pianist in every class.
Mm-hmm.
And the piano player adds this musical score. It's not just the music to the steps that we're dancing to, but when we stand up or when we sit down or when we move to the right or to the left, there's like it's like a silent movie, and there's this accompaniment that's going along with. If the teacher tells a story, there's a song that goes along with it that the pianist just improvises. So it makes a magical space in a cafeteria or a gym, wherever we're having our classes, that just is like engaging and motivating, keeps everybody going.
And those teaching techniques translate even into a discipline like ballet or jazz. And so we take those techniques learned and taught in a gymnasium or a cafeteria with kids in sneakers, and that can directly translate into a studio in a ballet class or a jazz class with the students in pink tights and leotards and their little ballet slippers. It works.
We're talking to Russell Baker and Allegra Lillard of NDI New Mexico. Let's talk again about the performance that's coming up this weekend called Winter Dance Escape. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I notice you're using, what's that wonderful group called?
Time for three.
They were here. I saw them.
I know.
I got to interview one of them.
I heard the
They're
interview.
They're crazy geniuses.
They are. They're amazing. I fell in love with their music immediately.
Was it two violinists and a bass player?
Yes.
Acoustic bass?
I believe so. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, the piece that I'm doing is Alleluia, and it's a lyrical piece, very contemporary for three couples. I've really encouraged the students to think about the story behind the steps, to be introspective. We talked about the musicality and how to work together as a group. The students in NDI, they get very good at counting music and knowing exactly when to come in on count seven or count five. And so this piece, I took them out of that box a little bit and encouraged them to listen more and to feel one another. So it's been a fun exploration.
That's interesting. So to listen, to basically to get them to cultivate their own musicality.
Absolutely. And move together. And like a flock of birds, you know, moves in the sky when you watch them. It's the same sort of thing that we worked with in this piece of choreography, how to move around the room together, how to lean on one another and support one another without it looking like a step.
Now, you're incorporating American Sign Language into some of the pieces?
Yes. In the junior company piece, with our own two hands, I asked Megan Goldberg, who works at San Fe School for the Arts and Sciences, to come and work with my dancers in this piece. So we have taken sign language, and it so easily translates to dance. And I was talking to Russell.
It is a kind of dance.
No, it is a dance. And I was telling Russell earlier how amazing it is to watch young people. They absorb it like a sponge. And I had Megan come in and work with them for one rehearsal session, and they picked up on it immediately, whereas I was over there fumbling around with my thumbs and my fingers, and they... It was so natural for them, and it so easily moved into the dance. And I feel like it's such a wonderful second language experience for young people.
And so they're using it and expanding it out.
Absolutely, into
dance,
a dance.
Into their whole body.
Yes.
And so if deaf kids come or people come and watch it, they understand what's going on.
Yes, and I'm bringing her in again, in fact, before next week, just to make sure that we maintain the integrity of the sign, because I feel that's very important, that we're not losing the meaning behind each gesture that they make.
Right. And you're using music by Lila Downs.
Yes, Curtis Ullman created an amazing piece with music from Lila Downs from the Frida soundtrack.
The worst movie ever made, but the music was good.
The music is fantastic, and he's just done a fabulous job with the dancers. As you know, as we know, Curtis, you know, he has this amazing way of manipulating choreography in spatial patterns and working with groups and solos. And I think it's really stretched our dancers and really taking them to another level. I'm really excited for them.
Now, both of you come from hardcore ballet backgrounds, is that
hardcore.
Right?
Hardcore.
True.
Tell us about your own background, Russell.
Okay. Well, I came to dance actually late in life. Started dancing when I was in college.
Oh, really?
As a young person, I was into sports and music. Well, music more than sports, but the right kinds of sports, I guess, that made it possible for me to make a transition into ballet.
Like, what are those sports?
Swimming, tennis, I didn't do gymnastics or anything like that, but I think it was just sort of like, you know, in ballet there's a look, and I was fortunate to be able to fit in, and I was tall, so I could be a partner to the girls on point.
Like me. Tall people like me.
but I started dancing, and what attracted me to dance when I started in college was the discipline that that is just a part of a dancer's life, and that you that you're in the studio and you take class every day. And I was actually really inspired also by the music, the pianist in the corner, and creating this sort of every day going back to the beginning and warming up and working on your technique. And went to graduate school and got a master's degree in ballet teaching and choreography, and used that to actually get enough training to get into a ballet company. I danced in the Kansas City Ballet for 10 years before I came to Santa Fe.
Now, a ballet dancer's life, a male ballet dancer, is that the same thing by 30, 35, you got to figure out something else to do?
I think by the time I was 33, the other dancers in the company were calling me abuelo.
No, that's evil.
Yes, I agree. You know, kids would come in, they're 18 years old, they can sort of bend in half, they kick themselves in the head, they don't even know how they did it. It's like the sort of like the tricks that dancers can do. You see them on TV now where people jump up in the air and their legs fly apart or spin around 10 times. It was sort of getting harder and harder to think about keeping up. So,
and it's weird. I mean, I don't know about, it's harder to measure this with dance, but it seems like when you watch the Olympics and you watch the gymnasts, every 4 years, they do more things than they did four years earlier. And the people who were on the women's gymnastics team in 1964 wouldn't even get into the trials now.
Right.
Is it the same in dance? Like the younger people just can do more things?
I think they can. Yeah, I think they can. I mean, one of the things that's interesting is that they're still studying the same technique, and then they're mastering it, and they have teachers that are helping them master it earlier and then taking it somewhere else. So, yeah.
What about you, Allegra?
Well, I started dancing at a much younger age, at wee four. And
girls kind of have to start earlier.
Yeah, it's really important because of the point work and the development of the body. It's really important to start younger if you want to take it into the classical direction, which is what I loved. And I come from a very small town in Texas, and so my parents... I saw that I needed to get out of that situation, and I went to a performing arts high school in Massachusetts. So left home when I was 13, had my first job at the Atlanta Ballet when I was 17. Met my husband there, Mark Morgan, the chiropractor here in town, and we moved to Canada. I danced there.
He's a dancer too.
He was a dancer. Yes. He retired. I kept dancing. We moved to Portland, Oregon. I danced with the Oregon Ballet Theater. And then at 30, just like Russell, it was like, you know, I just really can't get my leg up there anymore. Recovery. My back hurts. recovery time is a lot longer. I don't wake up the next morning and I'm ready to tackle it again. So it was time to move on, and we moved to Santa Fe, and Mark opened his practice. And I just about... pretty soon after we moved here, I got involved with NDI way back in 96, in the early beginnings of the, when it was really still a very small grassroots program. We were working out of Catherine Oppenheimer's apartment in Tsuki. And I worked with the organization for about 8 years, then stepped away when my children were really young, had my own studio, Dance for Joy, for 7 years, and then I came back in August, and I kind of always knew I would. There was a part of me that really loves working with the diversity of demographic that I get to work with, and being able to offer the arts to students who might not get it otherwise. And
do you feel that, or do you see that there is any movement toward maintaining the health of your feet and your body and all of that stuff, as opposed to just using them till they completely wear out in the dance world?
That's a good question. I'm not sure if I know the answer to that.
I mean, so many dancers who were just the A1 ballet dancers have lifelong problems because
of
how hard they were pushed.
I think we all have our weak areas. Mine is my back, you know. I think that every dancer has a part of their body that's succumbs to injury. I think that the dance form itself has changed quite a bit. It is very athletic and has gotten very extreme. But female dancers, for instance, they're not always on point. They can be barefoot. They can be in soft ballet slippers rather than point shoes every single day.
So that helps.
It helps. Yes, I think dancers now, and I may be wrong. Jump in there, Russell. I think that dancers now, professional dancers now, have a little bit more understanding of their bodies. They cross train.
Yeah, they do things like Pilates.
Gyrotonic.
And that helps. That builds a kind of strength and flexibility that helps. And you see a lot of people who, after performing, after dancing, want to go into studying physical therapy or movement therapy or Pilates or that kind of thing that sort of
alternative.
Builds strength and helps people really use their bodies and are healthy and in the best way.
And Lord knows you have the background to do that once you've had a dance career.
Absolutely. I think that's really, that's a huge advantage. If you're going to teach this, to have that kind of belly of experience, I think it really, you have the understanding and the knowledge to pass on. And I think that's so much what dance, that's what the arts are about, is really the passing on of this something that's maybe not written down, but it's innate, it's in your body, it's part of who you are. And I think that's something that we love to do. If we've done it and had that passion, it's that giving back.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, when you think about how many generations back people have been doing what the two of you learned, it's a kind of humbling and beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. Well, Russell Baker and Allegra Lillard are with the National Dance Institute of New Mexico, NDI New Mexico. They are on the web at ndi-nm.org. And let's talk once again about the event coming up this weekend. It's Friday and Saturday at 7 o'clock, Sunday at 2 in the afternoon. It's called Winter Dance Escape, and it's the, what is it, the junior company and the...
Company Excel.
Excel, which is the high school students.
Yes, our advanced dancers.
And
choreography by a ballerina, a modern dancer, and a song and dance man.
Yes,
it's going to be something.
Campbell Martin.
Yeah, he's amazing. I love that you're using so many Santa Fe people for this.
It's really important to get that, to expose them to all of these wonderful, this wonderful talent we have here.
Exactly. Now we're going to do a little ticket giveaway.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
so how's this going to work?
If you call the NDI box office, which is 983-7661, we will offer you a ticket.
The first, what, the first three people?
Yeah, first three people.
First
Absolutely.
Three people who call. Operators are standing by,
Absolutely.
We hope.
A pair of free tickets.
Yes, that'd be great.
But anyway, and give the number again for people who just want to call and reserve tickets.
983-7661.
Russell and Allegra, thanks so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.